المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Monday the 7th of February 2000 last week, or rather the week before, because last week we didn't have a class. The week before we started with the concept of Shafa'at that was pertaining to the verse number 48, that fear that day in which nothing shall be of use. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ. And we discussed about the concept of shafa'at, that intercession is something that is for Ahlul Kabair, only those who do major sins. Intercession is something that takes place on the Day of Judgment only, and so on. Yourself and Rizwan, I think, the two of you, had asked a question on Shafa'at. Why would the Prophet or Ahlul Bayt or any believer who was granted that power to intercede on anybody's behalf, why would they wish something that Allah does not wish? Am I right in the question? Alaykum salam. Why would they wish something that Allah would not wish? Because in Shafa'at we have understood. Alaykum salam. In Shafa'at we have understood that Shafa'at is actually to intercede on behalf of somebody for something that is not taking place. So when Allah decides to punish somebody, that is when intercession comes in place. Okay, now the Holy Prophet or members of his family intercede on behalf of the victim or of the person who is being punished, pray to Allah and ask from Allah forgiveness and say, stop the punishment on this believer. Right? Now the question asked was, why would they ask for something that Allah did not wish? Anybody, please. Have you understood the question? Why would they, the Holy Prophet, ever think of something? Their wish is Allah's wish.
Is it always that Allah doesn't want it to happen, or is it that Allah is looking for you to find the means of looking for the different means of asking? Is it that He's just stopping it, or He's waiting for you to go through a certain way?
Do you understand the question is asking? The question is that what is it? Is it that Allah doesn't want it to happen and so it doesn't happen? Or does Allah wish us to find different ways for it to happen? And so He will not let it happen directly. He will allow the course to take its natural path and say through this or through that or through that to achieve that result. Is that what you are not asking?
Yeah.
The answer to that one is quite an important question. The answer to that one is that there are both. There are certain things that Allah, once He so decrees, nothing can change it. What He wants will happen. And there are certain things that Allah wishes this to happen, but I wish otherwise. And therefore, that is why you will find in Arabic, when they talk of irada, there is irada takwiniya and irada tashri'iya. There are two different kind of irada. Even when talking about irada of Allah, irada, you know what we mean by irada. Irada is to want or to wish, right? Now, that irada of Allah, there is irada takwiniya, that means the fundamental irada, which nobody can interfere. Allah has so willed that, for example, hydrogen or oxygen is useful for the lungs. Why not hydrogen? Why not nitrogen? He has created that system. He has willed that oxygen is useful for our lungs, and that's it. Nobody can change it. But then when He says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, right? He has decreed. Now that decree, is that taqwini or tashri'i? If it was taqwini, then it would be as good as oxygen is good for lungs, which is not the case. But it is tashri'i. Tashri'i, atle, he wants it that way. But He's left the choice. No. So these are two kinds of different actions or acts. There are one that are decreed finally, and nobody can change it. And there are one that, Allah has given us the wisdom to understand what is right, what is wrong, to submit to Him, and then He's given us the willpower and choice to decide what to do. Right? So, you can't say it is a set system. It can be this, it can be that.
I think the answer to that could be this, that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed the institution of Shafa'a to exist in the very first place, it means that He wants it to happen. Otherwise, He would not even have allowed it to happen, because He has said in the Quran that you can only do Shafa'a with my permission in Al-Fusr.
مَنْ الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ.
Who can do Shafa'at except with my permission, my sort of my sanction. So the fact that He allows that institution to exist, and also Shafa'at is done by the Prophet and by the Imams and by those who are close to Him. Allah, it is with Allah's blessing, as it were. He has kept that institution there. Now, the other thing also to remember is that these people do not want what Allah does not want. In another place they said about the وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Don't want for yourself what I don't want. Then you will not do anything except if I want you to do it. You cannot do it independent of my will. Those two things. If you keep that in mind, and the fact that the institution exists in the first place, that means there's a tacit approval. Now, these people are expected to do Shafa'at. They are not going against Allah's will. For example, Allah always holds the last no in His hand. And to ask, to plead someone's case in front of a higher authority is not a crime. Suppose I decree and I'm in authority, for someone to ask for my mercy, extra mercy, after I have decreed is not a crime, because I still have I reserve the last no in my hand.
See, this is a circular argument. The first thing is, Allah is not like a king. A king is one person. He can't hear 50,000 subjects or 2 million subjects. You have to go through someone to get to him, or he's given someone else the authority because he possibly cannot hear every one of his subjects. Allah is not like that. Yeah. He can hear even the ants and every single creature. So, what is the purpose of Shafa? And secondly, why would the Prophet forgive you when Allah would not?
No. I don't think
why would he ask Allah to forgive you?
I think the Prophet asks.
Why?
Because again, it boils down to this business about pleading for someone, after they have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, suppose you and I did the same crime. I was a lover of Ahlul Bayt, you were not. Allah then decided for us, both of us, because the crime, the punishment, right? Okay? Now, because I have that, because the Prophet will only intercede for me because of a bond I have with him, because of some love I had for him, and he didn't have that, and you didn't have that connection. So, for that extra thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then does not intervene. Now He waits for the Prophet to make good for the love He gave him, right?
You having the bond with the Prophet, why not ask Allah directly anyway? You still have the bond, it doesn't get cut.
You have that option too. But this is where, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not listening to your petition anymore.
Why?
Because of certain crimes, I don't know. I think the very fact that the institution exists means it has Allah's permission.
But
it is one of the ways Allah has chosen.
But we need to ask ourselves, why does it exist? The question to understand
it. A thing by Allah to sort of make us realize the importance of the Ahlul Bayt. So, for example, by Him saying, if you go through them rather than coming directly to me, it's a way of saying, well, look how important these people are. Maybe then we can think, why are they important? And
this was granted to the Ahlul Bayt, and exclusively to Ahlul Bayt and the staunch believers, because of the sacrifice they undertook in this world. Don't let us forget, these are not just favors granted because of them being so and so, right? Or close to Allah, or any relations, or any other kind of thing.
So Sayyid Akhtar was making an interesting point in Day of Judgment. He was saying that some people will go to Jannah, but they will also say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now that we are here, and we deserve this place, now we are interceding for our family, friends, whoever,
That's true.
Even those intercessions will be heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least. Whether they will
you
be
see,
accepted
is,
or not.
There is a cut-off point where intercession for a certain kind of people will not be accepted regardless of who makes it. Right? These are the people for whom the Holy Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt are never going to intercede.
Yeah.
Right?
Us believers, if Allah puts us in Jannah, we will not have that grey line. So we will think of everybody who we know based on the criteria of this earth. Ke amaro sago chhe, amaro parosi chhe, amaro dostar chhe, that kind of criteria, right? Underlying principle is, whoever believed firmly on the Day of Judgment and Allah, I mean, or believed firmly in Allah and the Day of Judgment. Anybody, anything less than that?
The other thing that strikes me is, perhaps, and this is just a thought, and no proof, but perhaps Allah leaves it, perhaps by them interceding on your behalf, that makes sense. But maybe they lose something.
Maybe.
Maybe they are giving up something.
No, maybe, I don't think so. Can I come up with a possible answer, Mustafa?
Please.
It could be that Allah is telling us, because He has set for us prophets and Iman, Aimah. And maybe He's saying to us that this is to force you to recognize their authority. Because being very well aware that a lot of people, the majority of Muslims in fact, will refuse to recognize it. And Allah is saying that this is a door for you. If you wish to enter this door, you will be forced to recognize their authority.
But that's jumping a step. If we are purely talking on intercession, not the intercessors, who intercedes on the Quran? Only the fact that intercession will be allowed. And also we know that even intercession from the good believers will be taken. So it's not the idea of Qadifah.
No, he was saying right now it's exclusively the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt.
And
we're just saying that.
And the believers. But what I was saying is that there are people on whom Shafa'at intercession will not take place, will not help, will not benefit. Those are the people who have no belief. Now, to cut the discussion short, I don't know if last time I told you about this hadith that on the Day of Judgment the Prophet, the people will go to Prophet Isa, and Prophet Isa will say you go to Prophet Musa, and Prophet Musa will say you go to Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim will say you go to Prophet, Holy Prophet, Muhammad Mustafa sorry, it's the other way around, yeah? وتؤمر الأرض لا تقبل من عرفهم شيئا فيأتون آدم. They will go first to Adam. And Adam will send them to Nuh عليه السلام. And Nuh will send them to Ibrahim عليه السلام. And Ibrahim will send them to Musa عليه السلام. Musa will send them to Isa عليه السلام. And then Isa will send them to our Prophet. And then our Prophet will stand up and say, fine, I will intercede on their behalf. And these are the people who qualify for intercession. Got to understand. There is that criterion of qualification. Without that criterion, people will not be qualified for intercession. So irrespective of whether the Holy Prophet asks or not, they simply do not qualify. Pachi jetla qualified thai, and that qualification comes by the kind of belief we bring forward, not by who we are, by what we are on this earth. So it is the Iman. The first thing is the Iman and Aqeedah that comes forward, and based on that, our actions may not reflect back, our actions may be of that of a sinful person, but if deep down in our belief, understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief on the Day of Judgment was right, sound belief as they call it, Iman Salim, right? Then we qualify for that. Once we qualify for that, if he intercedes on our behalf, there is nothing to stop. Now, another thing also is that Allah does not wish to see His own people burn in the fire of hell. His justice demands that somebody who has sinned has to be put in the fire of hell. So whilst as much as He wants not this person, for this person not to burn in the fire of hell, there is only one way after him committing sins, and that is through intercession. That's the system He has created. In any case, it's a long discussion, and I wish to go further today because there are a lot of other things coming up. At least we have discussed enough to arouse interest, and probably dwell a little bit in other books to find out the true meaning of Shafa'ah. We will go on today from verse number 49 because it starts with something that is similar, and that is the state of the Jews. This is addressing the Banu Israel, right? وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ, verse number 49, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ عَالِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. What do you understand by the word bala?
Trial.
I mean, if you look at the test, trial, tribulation. If you look at the word bala as far as the cultural understanding, well, yeah, bala aavi chhe, humne kai bala aavi chhe, right? Gujarati mein kya hai, bala aavi chhe. Bala was always looked at negatively, kya kharab chhe chhe. Something bad has happened, right? Moti bala aavi chhe, that kind of language. Bala in Arabic literally means a trial and tribulation. It's nothing else, right?
So you don't come like an example.
وَإِذِبْتَلَىٰ آدَمْ رَبَّهُ.
Not tribulation. A tribulation is more like the Urdu meaning, the Gujarati meaning.
Trial. But yet trial also in English has now begun to mean, you know, bad news. It's like an examination of some sort where you test someone to see whether they are true to their belief.
فَمَنْ اِبْتَلَىٰ رَبُّهُ وَقَدَّرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
Also, there's another one that says, do you think when you say, I believe, I'll just accept your word for it?
But that is not bala.
That's not bala.
Alif lam mim ahasiba an-nas wa yutraku wa yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. Fitna. That is fitna. The word used there is fitna. Again, fitna there also means
test.
So bala means it has this connotation ke kai kharab chij hai. Like you said, trial in English also means ke trial chij hai, something bad, yeah? But it is not a punishment, the way we understand in Gujarati. Bala chhe like a punishment, afat hai chhe, azab utar chhe. It is not that. Bala is that it might be something bad, but it is there to test you, right? So, وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. What Fir'aun was doing was killing the men and letting the women live, right? يَذْبَحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. يَسْتَحْيُونَ is from the word hayat, right? Letting them live. Now, the following verses, several verses, Allah is reminding them of all His favors on Banu Israel. In this particular verse 49, He says, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ. And remember, we saved you. إِذْ is a very interesting word. إِذْ أَلِفْ ذَال. It is not إِذَا, it is إِذْ. And إِذْ in Arabic, in Quran, is always reminding that, remember this, right? وَإِذْ, whenever you come across إِذْ, know that Allah is reminding us of something, an event that took place in the past, right? The first verse is saying, saving Banu Israel from the clutches of Fir'aun, right? Then it says, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرِ. And we created that path. We separated the sea to create that path. وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ. We saved you across the water, by crossing the water. وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. Right? And we drowned people of Fir'aun and you were watching. This is reminder, huh? Reminder one, we saved you from that persecution that Fir'aun and his people were carrying out. Reminder two, we split open the seas so that you could cross, and we drowned Fir'aun and his people and you were watching. وَإِذْ وَاعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. Right? And we promised Musa 40 nights. ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Despite that, you took to worshipping the calf. And you were doing an injustice to yourself. Now, an interesting thing is, did Musa alayhi salam go for 40 nights or go for 30 nights?
Last time you said he went for 30 and stayed for 40.
No, Allah said he called him for 30 and then he returned more.
Yeah, that 10 more was a test to these guys. In 10 days, how much
last can you... That was our evaluation. Yeah, the ten more, you know, testing the Banu Israel, whether they will wait or not. And it was during those last 10 days that everything...
Can I ask one question here? Yes. These Banu Israel are children of Yusuf. When Yusuf went
Yaqub.
There...
Yusuf is Yaqub.
No, when
Israel
Yusuf...
Israel is Yaqub. Yaqub is the name of Israel's name.
Yusuf is the son of Yaqub. I'm saying when Yusuf...
Israel had the 12 boys.
No, but when they went, when Yusuf went there and he did the Ta'wil al-Hadith and everything, after that he was made a governor, these That's when they migrated there. There were no Jews there.
No.
So what happened to them? How did they become slaves? Does it say anywhere?
No. What happened with the Pharaoh, the Egyptian nation, there was a national resistance movement to these people.
Because they were high status.
They didn't like it because they had different color skin. They were a different race. They were ruling on the peasants, and they were minorities.
Is that the reason, or is it that they started controlling all the institutions and everything, and people got cut off?
But they were in positions of power, and really they were usurpers. But there was a national resistance movement, and they topsy-turvy.
Not dissimilar to what we have today. No, I'm serious. I'm serious.
No, within, I think there was a time period. Remember, we were just looking at it once. That is when these people, the pharaohs, kingdom.
The Quran doesn't elaborate on it.
History
does. No. Surah Al-A'raf, 142. A'raf is number?
7.
7. 8. 7, sorry. 142. That is the verse that clarifies this verse. وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. Right? So we promised him 31st, and then we completed it with another 10. And that completely forms the promised 49th. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first told him to come for 30 and then told him another 10, and that was two, as they say, mawa'adatayn, right? Two promises that ran one after another, two appointments or two whatever fixed time, 30 days and 10 days to make it 40. And during these 40 days, the Banu Israel turned, they changed colors so fast. They started worshipping the calf, the golden calf, if you remember. You remember the story, we've done this, yeah? وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى again, إِذْ is reminding. وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى No, sorry. ثُمَّ عَفَوْنَا عَنْكُمْ And we pardoned you. مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ So that you may be grateful. We pardoned you. وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَالْفُرْقَانَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ Then we gave Musa the book. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ So that you may be guided. Now,
did all the Jews worship the calf?
No. That's the next verse. That's the explanation given in the next verse. When he say, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ When Musa told his people, O my people, إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ You have done an injustice to yourself. Right? بِاتِّخَاذِكُمُ الْعِجْلَ By taking this calf, فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ Seek forgiveness or seek pardon from your Creator. فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Kill yourselves. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَابُ الرَّحِيمُ I don't know if we discussed this story at length, but what did Allah mean by killing yourself? Does that mean committing suicide?
No.
That would be I heard one person say, the ones who disobeyed, the ones who obeyed or did not go to the calf were told kill them. That's the first one. They kill those people who, even if they are your brothers, even if they are your sons, kill them. So that was a great bala for them as well. The other one I've heard is it's metaphorically desire and toro. Unfortunately it doesn't mean your bodies but your souls, you know. Your nafs, break your desire.
Sorry, this is. Have you got it? Surah Al-Baqarah, we are in. Verse number 54. The verse of killing, according to Ayatollah Tabatabai, was physical killing. And it was directed to those who did not worship the calf, to kill those who had worshipped the calf. By saying kill yourselves, because they were. You see, they had not shown any sign of. displeasure to those who had worshipped the cow. You could not see a difference. Actually, there should be a difference. We are Indians, right? If a Hindu comes in, would we not feel uncomfortable? Would we not make him feel uncomfortable amongst us? Why? Because he is an idol worshipper, we are not. Right? We could be good friends, but when it comes to certain things, we would draw a line and say, please, you go your way, I do my own thing. Whereas in the Jews, there was this no difference. Because they were themselves, they were a very close-knit society. The Jews were a very close-knit society. They still are. Right? So, that address, that kill yourselves, was meaning that it would be as good as killing yourself, because you're going to kill somebody the way these Serbs and Bosnians are killing each other. You know, the Bosnians were surprised when this kind of slaughter took place from the Serbians. The Bosnians were saying, these are the same people whose children used to play with our children, who used to come and have feasts with us on Sunday afternoon. Today they're turning against us. Right? That's the kind of scenario, if you can picture, that this was a very close-knit society. And Allah ordered Prophet Musa, okay, tell them, kill themselves. That means to those who had faith on Allah and had not worshipped the calf, should take up arms and kill those who had the audacity to worship the calf. Our history, my clear, how it took place was, they came to Prophet Musa al-Islam and said, how do we do this? Do we just take up arms and whoever we see on the road, remember, okay, he has done this, then we just kill him? And Nabi Musa alayhi salam said, no, let's make a plan. And they made a plan. They made a plan to gather all those, right, who had worshipped the calf. In a pretext, okay, he wants to tell them something. So they all got together, and surrounding them were the people who had not worshipped the calf, right? So everyone got together, and then Prophet Musa said, now kill them. This was a test. Yeah, how much do they obey Prophet Musa? And of course, by that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing something that is so difficult to do, to kill someone they know, not only someone they know, someone who may be related to them, brother, father. And history says that people took to arms killing their own sons and fathers. Right? Away. A very important question comes here, and I'm sure you must be thinking about it. If not, you will. And if you are thinking, it's time you ask this question. What is the value given to a life in Allah's eyes? Is this not something, you know, if you say, okay, jihad karo, people who are fighting against Islam, fine, you fight them, kill them. Very. You are killing enemies. But here in this particular story, it's got nothing to do with war. It's got nothing to do with soldiers. It's those who have not, who dared worship a calf for some time. And Allah, to test the iman, the faith of those who did not worship the calf, is testing them by saying, kill these people. What is the value of life? What does Islam say as far as the freedom of life? Right? That we understand today. Sacrosanct. When life is at question, khalas, death sentence, you fight against death penalty. Why? Because it's a question of a life. Abortion, you fight against abortion. Why? Because it's a question of a life. So, the values, present day values, revolve around the life of a person. Why do we fight for freedom? Because we want to add quality to life. Why do we fight to uplift the economic status of the poor, the third world countries, the developing countries? We want to give quality to a life. So everything we think, we do, we plan is revolving around the value given to a life of a person. Jalla, this very verse here is actually talking about that life as an insignificant thing. Kai kimatati.
Is it because the cost amount of it?
So, if they cross the boundary, there is no value.
Normally, they're given the chance to.
Isn't this jihad, though? Jihad is fighting the disbelievers, yeah? And these are disbelievers.
No, but fighting the disbelievers, if they fight against you. Forget the law of Britain. No, forget the law of Britain. Islam will not condone that. Will Islam condone that?
Okay. Why did Allah not give them a chance for forgiveness?
Absolutely. Yeah. That was, if Masum says they disbelieved and therefore they married her, what about the chance?
I think this law, was a special case.
Was an exception to the rule. That's what he's saying.
These people, Allah says about them, I gave you more than I gave anyone.
But in our communication, there is so much here. You will see there is so much here, right?
I gave you the way I never gave any community, any Fadalkutum Alam. Then, after all that, to turn like this was deserved special. In one place, God says, I think it was Nabi Isa, that I'm going to send you a table, but if you people then desist, I will punish you the way I've never punished you. So when he gives that kind of proof, then you turn against something more serious.
I think it's something more than that. Mustafa said that life is sacrosanct. We're missing the point. Why is life sacrosanct? It's not sacrosanct because you and I think it is. It's sacrosanct because Allah says it is. And Allah says
just a moment. I did not say life is sacrosanct.
Our
values are revolving around the fact that life is sacrosanct.
No.
Is that true according to Islam or not is what I want to debate about.
I think that life is sacrosanct because Allah says it is, and when He says it isn't, that's His decision to make. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Above everything else, though, is the sort of obeying Allah. Obeying Allah comes above everything. So if He says, "Do kill your father," you kill your father.
Granted that whoever followed Prophet Musa alayhi salam was doing the right thing. There is no question about that. They were doing the right thing because Allah has ordered, right? My question is that how low must be the value of a life in Allah's eyes to have commanded this? This is my question. Have I asked the wrong question?
Is it about corruption?
So as long as these people are alive, you see, the biggest question was that here fingers are not pointed at particular people. You have a group of people and say you kill randomly, kill at large, right? Group of 70,000 according to some narrations. 70,000 people were killed. Nehaji, there were people who had worshipped the calf. When Allah's verse came, revelation came to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, tell your people to hold back the swords. Whoever has remained has been forgiven. That is the whole story. The whole story is not that every single person who had worshipped the calf was killed. No. The story is that as they obeyed Allah by killing their own, there came a time Allah revealed to Prophet Musa, tell your people to hold back now. Whoever has remained from those who have worshipped the calf has been forgiven. Right?
Why are they forgiven? Just because they could run faster.
Better
at fighting.
No, but you must admit, that Musa in a time,
this is not in defense of Jews. This is not in defense of Jews. The particular thing, I want to draw a lesson from this particular verse.
And that was a group of them brought back to life anyway.
That was later on. That was the one who went to see Allah. Who want to see Allah, right? And then Nur, and they all die. And then, so that is a different. I'm saying here, Allah asks them to kill their own folks, right? And after they have started killing, at a certain point, Allah says, "Fine, enough. Now that you have shown that you obey me, whoever is remained is forgiven." But what happened to those? Interesting question, eh? You see, the value of life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we fight, we ask questions to what about the life of a person. The Holy Quran says that if you kill a person by mistake, what do you do? The Quran says, if you take a life by mistake, what do you do? You free a slave. Right? You free a slave. However, the question is, in this time and now, when there is no slaves to be freed, what do? You fast for 2 months. What do? You fast for 2 months. Is that the life of a person? Is that the value given to the life of a person?
Even by mistake.
By mistake. I'm talking of by mistake. Oh. Even me. Well, if you kill purposely, you're killed.
No, but isn't there an ayat that says you kill one person, you have killed the whole world?
But that is deliberately.
Man qatala
nafsa ka'annama qatala an-nasa jami'an.
I think also if you say it's like you save the whole.
You see, there are two different perspectives. Okay, originally the one thing, the universal declaration of human rights and all this is everything revolving around the value given to life. And because of that, we've gone to the other extreme. I'm talking of we, not as we Muslims, I'm talking of we human beings in our secular mentality, in our worldly affairs. We have gone to the other extreme, thank you, of actually giving up, say, death punishment, for example, right? Why death penalty? Somebody, because in giving value to the life. But in retrospect, we have damaged our own society. Because death penalty is no longer a deterrent. And therefore, that effectiveness of a deterrent is no longer there. So life of a person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if there is no iman, right? If there is no faith, is virtue. Is zero.
Well, you said earlier on that when people go to hell, the last greater than to feel sorry for them.
Believers.
Yeah.
Believers. I'm talking about believers. Oh. Allah will not feel sorry for Shaitan or Iblis or Yazid to be in the
eye of. He created everyone.
Check it. Sorry?
He created everyone. He's putting his own creation in hell. They give them choice.
He knew when he was creating them. And instead of telling them, those people killed them, wasn't
it?
That makes more sense. They had not shown any signs of displeasure.
Musa told her, why did you stop them? Because they were doing it. He said, I was scared, you know, how many they were.
No, he said, if I had done it, they would have killed.
That was another question we had asked, you know?
Remember that?
Yeah. Why?
Why
would you be worried about that?
Yeah.
It was your question.
I was saying that, you know, we say Allah is all merciful. Huh. Then, so there's some people who are going to be in hell forever, eternity. But Allah created those people in the first place, and when He had created them, obviously He knew that they eventually ended in hell. So it's difficult to sort of, you know, reconcile divine justice and also being all merciful at once.
If you remove the question from the equation, His divine knowledge has absolutely no role in what is going to happen. He knows. He knows up to the day of judgment whoever is going to be created, where he or she will end up, doesn't he? That's the divine justice. But does that mean that He controls them and rules? He doesn't. So in actual fact, we are proving to ourselves, not to Him, of how good or how bad we are.
But how can any evil action in this world?
How?
How can any evil action in this world be deserving of eternal punishment?
Oh, that is another good argument. You know, you're talking of an argument that is still going on. In fact, I heard, I'm talking of 3 days to 4 days ago, where this scholar was discussing this very concept. Concept of time. In fact, you got an answer. You got a very good answer. Thank you.
See, all infinity, yeah.
First of us wrote an answer to the concept is of time, that how can something be deserving in eternity when the action that deserved that kind of punishment or reward was not eternal? Where is the fairness and justice in that? Right? is that I do a good deed, I get reward eternal. And if I do a wrong deed, which was for that short span of time, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, and for that, is eternal punishment. The scholars are still discussing it. It was something about eternity. And he said that perhaps we cannot comprehend that time is not a dimension in the hereafter. You see, time is a dimension here. But why are we taking the same dimension and applying it there? It is difficult to comprehend. It is difficult to comprehend, I must say. It is not easy to comprehend something without time, because we are restricted by time. So that, on the day of judgment, there is no time. Right? Now, can we sit to think about such things? Can we imagine something without time? We would every time thinking about without time be comparing it with the time we have here. So these are the kind of arguments that are still going on. Will it be eternal? I can show you a hadith in Kalimatullah. Hasan Shirazi has compiled the words of Allah, right? I can show you a hadith that says that there is not a single person who will not be in paradise. Not a single person who will not be in paradise, right? There is a hadith that says that. It starts with three or four different versions. It starts with Muwahid Mu'mineen, then Muslimin, then Muwahideen, right? And then Nas. So, not a single believer will be in the fire of hell. Everybody, every believer will be. Then Muslimin, then Muwahideen. Muwahideen, those who follow the monotheistic religions. And then Nas. Hadith Masi, Atme monotheistic. Can show you that. But what does it mean? Does it mean immediately? Is it a true hadith? I don't know. Is it a distorted hadith? Can mu'minin bola than koi muwahidin na conclusion? We don't know. Right. The other interesting thing in this verse 54 is the use of word bari'ikum, fatubu ila bari'ikum. You know the interesting thing Ayatollah Tabatabai says that this word bari'ik, the quality of Allah, is the name of Allah, Asmaul Husna, right? Has been used in the Quran three times only, out of which twice it has been used in this verse only. One verse. Ek verse in andar befere, the same name has been used. Ne pachi bije thekan ek baju khudai vaperu se bare, where he says Lahul Asmaul Husna, right? He has these excellent names. So, in this particular verse, Allah has used the word twice. Why did He use it twice? There must be some significance. A word that is so sparsely used in the whole Quran, yet it appears twice in one verse, must have some significance. Right? And what is bara'a? Bara'a is, what has been translated in English? Creator. Khaliq. Bara'a chene, literally in Arabic, this is how you got to understand. Bara'a means to come from nowhere. Right? To appear from nowhere. That is bara'a. Now, bari is somebody who created from nothing. And the link is that it is Allah who created you from nothing, asking you to kill yourselves. So, don't question the order of that power which created you when you were nothing, from nothing, as to why we should kill somebody. He is asking. Right? So that link of this word. Right. Verse number 54, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِكُمُ الْعِجْلَ فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So, this is a reminder that you did this, we told you to do it, you did this and He pardoned you. Then, وَإِذْ, again, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. When you remember the time when you told Musa that we will not believe in Allah until we see him, jahratan itle manifested, right? فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ. What happened? Sa'iqa is translated as what? Lightning?
Thunder.
ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ فِيكُمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَا. This is a concise, you know, so you press the upper again, summary of all that took place. Allah is reminding the Banu Israel, you see, once they crossed the sea, Red Sea, but they entered into an open field, desert also, right? There was no shade, there was no food, nothing, right? So they blamed Musa, okay, your Lord saved us, but look at what it has ended. We have ended up with nothing. We have no shelter, we have no shade, we have no food, nothing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst the favors that He bestowed upon Banu Israel was that there were clouds that accompanied them. Right? فَأَنْزَلْنَا وَظَلَّلْنَا. ظَلَّلْنَا is ظِلْ. ظِلْ is shade. وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ. So we had clouds moving with you as you moved, giving you that shade from the sun. وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ السَّلْوَى. And this manna salwa is food. Quail is what?
Manna is
manna. Manna is a special loaf. Huh?
Some sort of wheat.
Wheat loaf. Salwa is the quail, bird, right? Now this manna or salwa, it came down like, it came down like raindrops, like dew on leaves. They would just pluck it out from the leaves, right? Ek riwayat mein hai ki na, this bird would come down, roasted, fried, whatever it was, okay, boiled, right? E loko khase, ne pachi the bird will fly away. So every day, whenever they were ready to eat, this kind of miracles took place right in front of themselves, right in front of their eyes, yeah? How can they be lying? I can't understand. Anyway.
I think it's a case of getting used to it.
Yeah. Familiarity breeds contempt.
Yes. Huh? Yeah. Familiarity breeds contempt.
The question was that. Yeah. The question, I don't think that was answered. But the question was, there are heavenly food or like a tiger came. How are you supposed heaven is something never get tired.
Let me come to that. Because they got tired of that kind of food. Right? And they said, we want the garlic and the onions and the lentils. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا, they were not doing an injustice to us, but we were doing an injustice to them. They were doing an injustice to themselves. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا, and we told them, enter this village, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا, and take and eat whatever you'd like to eat. وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا, and enter the door, enter the gate of the city, the village. سُجَّدًا, bowing down. وَقُلُوا حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ وَسَنَزِيدُ الْحَسَنَةِ. We shall forgive you your mistakes. If you enter this gate, bowing down, and say this particular word, وَقُولُوا حِبَّةٌ, right? فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رِجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. They again changed. Oh, must this to literally. If you look at their kind of lifestyle, literally laughing, you know, devil's advocate, Janijan, who you to try curry, let's change this word, let's see what happens.
Go judge.
According to one book I read, Qasas al-Anbiya mentioned, it doesn't make sense to me, because the word that they said was hintatun instead of hintatun. Now hinta means wheat. Hitta is to lower yourself, you know. Hatatun. Hatatun is to hittatun wa kulu hittatun, we have submitted, right? To you. Hintatun atle, go, wheat.
we can't say
that's
that.
Likely.
This Arabic, that's Hebrew.
That's my concern. My concern is Hittatun may be Hebrew, but Ayah Hittatun is not Hebrew. Hittatun is Arabic. Right? So, the only possibility could be that Hitta and Hinta, like they are in Arabic, are two similar words in Hebrew as well. Which is possible. But I read in one book, okay, they clearly were entering, instead of saying Hittatun, Masni Sujulakun, they said Hintatun. Right? Yeah. And see what happens. You see, their whole thing was Ke'ata Ke'cha, let's see what happens. You know, they were, that state of arrogance and disbelief is so common. It's so common. Aaj tumhe koi aayi nahi hai ke jo bhai puchh rahe before you leave home or when you start work every day, before you leave home, decide that it's possible to touch. Somebody comes and tells you. And you say, what difference is it going to make? You ask yourself this question. Has it ever occurred to you or not? Okay, what difference is it going to make if I say or if I don't say? Is it going to make a difference? And I can tell you, I can assure you, that Shaitan Magaj Machane is going to tell you that just by saying the words, what difference is it going to make? Ke hoon Ayatul Kursi paru ke na paru, and you curry, you know, you try practically, ke hoon Ayatul Kursi paru ne ne paru, then you'll probably end up with the result that it has not made a difference in my life. Check it out. Why? It's all a question of faith, the state of mind. Is the question of faith. Okay, how much faith do you have? You recite it, why? You recite it because the Holy Prophet has said that. You recite it because it is the verse of the Holy Quran. That's it. You're not looking for the barkat. Moli sahab kido ki na barkat aage chhe saath ele barkat goto aage se kya kai barkat. When you start doing that, that is when you are becoming what is known as materialistic nature. You are looking at the material and tangible benefit, forgetting the spiritual aspect of actions. I can show you people who are suffering, people who are under the poverty line, people who are the less deprived, lower middle class, you name them. All those people are the very people who recite so many more things than those who are wealthier, richer, happier. So what? Barkat kya ki? Chikar? That's not the issue. There are so many things at play that we do not know. When we talk of, I'm just giving this as an example, when we talk of barkat, we are looking at that tangible aspect, kya hai, you know, vaidu paiso ke na vaidu, roji maudaro kyo ke na thi, right? When it comes to a health issue, abimari ochi dahi ke na dahi, abimari di baicha ke na baicha. So we are looking at the tangible result, not knowing that there are so many issues at stake, ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by you reciting that dua, Allah might decide the best thing for you is death. And may kill you. In your own interest. To save you from performing sins, from making sins, or from committing sins later. And that was the best outcome for you. Yet people around you reciting duas would lose faith and say, kya tumhe dua pehle kya kaam hai? Why? Because their target is around the tangible results only. The physical, the things we can feel, we can see, we can understand. This is the state of the Jews. The Jews were in that state at that time. Despite all that overwhelming evidence, they still thought, how can a few words make a difference? What difference? And it is not the few words that make a difference. It is the spirit behind the words, or the spirit behind the person or the power that commanded it, the power that ordered it. قولوا حطة نغفر لكم خطاياكم وسنزيد المحسنين فبدل الذين ظلموا قولا غير الذي قيل لهم فأنزلنا على الذين ظلموا رجزا من السماء بما كانوا يفسقون رجزا من السماء punishment
only the
ones who disobeyed. I don't think it was all, okay? It was not
eradicated. Some of them did. Huh? The ones who unjust disobeyed.
فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَحْسَنَ الَّذِينَ Ritsa.
But not what it was.
Even I tried looking for this one here. Ritsa Nitle Adab. What kind of punishment? It doesn't relate to any particular incident or event that took place during the time of
Allah. But then they brought them into life, but they want to realize.
Never, it's
like,
je loko kera ta, e loko parazabut yu gya.
Bola, bija sa tiga.
Bija sa tiga.
E loko
mo. Wa idh istasqa Musa li qawmihi fa kulna darib bi asaka al hajar fa anfajarat minhum a'ashrata ayna fa da'alima kullu nasin mashrabahum kulu wa shrabu min rizq. This was yet another favor. وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى إِذْ again, reminding, right? Musa alayhi salam asked for water for his people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, strike your staff on the rock. And from the rock erupted 12 streams, right? Each tribe, as they say, each suqa shalom, the group of the Israel were in 12 different tribes. Right, so each tribe had their own. 12 different streams erupted from that rock. قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ. Every tribe knew. Came at the pani beyond. And then the next verse. And that is the verse that we are waiting for. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. We shall not tolerate just this one food, one kind of food. مَنَّ وَسَلُّ. They were tired. فَدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ. They said, what are you saying? If you demand it, you will not be able to do it. Right? فَدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ. رَبَّكَ
يَا رَبَّكَ.
رَبَّكَ. رَبَّكَ. You see, it's like they were testing. We have the upper hand or he has the upper hand on us. You know, that kind of behavior, that kind of attitude. You know, we mang it, yape chi, ame pachwa no kare, pachwa ape chi, pachwa ape
chi. Is this evil or is this just childish? Because bacha amit na kare. I know you see kids, they do that. They test you all the time.
Never. How can you say childish when they were all mature adults? I mean, I can understand bacha amit na kare. This was immature, but for how long? This was, this then. Led to arrogance.
We are adults, but compared to our understanding of our imma, we are very childish in the way that we value this and this. When you think that how much value there is in it, there's nothing. Well, we do. We haven't evolved to develop to that stage. But maybe they haven't.
But there are too many incidents here, huh?
The marvelous thing is that they kept on getting, isn't it?
Can you imagine?
No other community was given this kind of leeway, no one.
And they're still the same today.
It's
funny how one race can be throughout history just the same.
No, it's true, geneticism in Jews is very strong because they are certain popular conditions.
Yeah, that's right. Sex is
only in Jews. Because they inbreed.
They inbreed a lot.
That's right.
So they asked for what? They asked for what is grown on the earth, right? Bakliha is vegetable. Kitta'iha is translated as what? Greenery? Huh? Bakaliha is vegetable.
Herbs.
Herbs.
Herbs, cucumbers and garlics.
Kitta is cucumbers and khiyar. Right? Wa fumiha. Fumiha is fumiha. Wa adasiha. Adasiha is lentil. Chanani adas kesi chanani. Right? Wa basaliha. Basaliha is leh? Onions, gumbri. Ajo, khudam jawab jo samjhao. Qala atastabdiluna bima huwa adna. Atastabdiluna alladhi huwa adna billadhi huwa khair. Ajo, mane chine, hu chine, I am a person who prefers meat, for example. Right? Mari samay koi lentils ke vegetable rakh le zon ke bana apai mushi. Mane gos kare. Right? The Quran in the ghost, chicken, that quail, that meat that they were eating is better. Are you demanding things that are good but forsaking what is better? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Quran in the that manna wa salwa that he was sending was adna, that is better than what you are asking, which is good.
Lenadiya da kharabchi. He's not saying, Allah is not saying it is bad.
Oh right? Yeah, they're not saying that. Oh yeah, they're saying seek ye to exchange that which is inferior for that which is superior.
Inferior as superior, like a relative thing, you know, it's not like good to bad. It's just superior and inferior. Adna is, you see, literally in Arabic, adna at least closer. Right? Dana dunu, which means to come closer, right? Adna is that very close, that means higher. Huwa khair, khair is good. So there's nothing, no element of badness in any of these two things. But are you forsaking or changing or giving up that which is better for that which is good?
Well, yeah, khair is what is there, what they were asking for was khair.
It was khair.
It was not bad at all, it was good. Well, that was superior.
Absolutely. Nothing to do with because it was one night somewhere, it's because it came from Allah.
Because it was divine.
Just like if you live in a big castle, sometimes you go and sleep in a tent for 10 years.
I think that makes it more amanati tafsir. Okay, then because it was manna and salwa coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are asking for those things that grow on the earth.
Yeah, it's true, I think it makes more sense because the next chronogram Allah says is up.
اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم. Right? Go to land.
Go to a town and get
it. You will get whatever you want.
What you're asking is from things of earth. And what I'm giving you is
from the sky. From his
relatively go then to some town.
وضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة. This is such an interesting verse. Because ضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة. How is it been translated? They were cursed with
humiliation and wretchedness.
Humiliation. Dhilla is from Izzat and Dhilla.
Abasement.
Right? But you know why? Because they turned away from what Allah was giving them to what was earth. That's the interesting part. That is the most interesting. Ke aaji aapne je khuda aape chhe, ene tuchkani. We turn our faces away from what Allah is giving us to go to that which is earth and abyss. Then what will happen is we will become slaves of these earthly things. طُلْبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ When they go to this place asking for lentils and onions and garlic, they will then have to toe the line as far as those people will give them ke maana sahab se ke grow karo par se, toil karo par se, all these things they'll have to do. Whereas that was coming without them. وَبَاءُ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ Such blatant disbelief in the signs of Allah. وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ
Now they've moved to the future, right? Because up to this stage they hadn't been killing all that. This has moved to the future.
No. Prophet Musa did bala. So many prophets have been killed. I remember a very... prophets have been... How the prophets have been killed. Some prophets have been put in the trunk of the tree, in the trunk of the tree. Zakaria al-Islam.
Some prophets are loyal. If you go to Jerusalem, you go to the Blessed Hill, you go to Jilziyan, the whole hill is called apparently of praying from
Mount of Olives.
That was called the Blessed Hill.
They had established a trail of blood in their... Paiyaghambar or nothing more than Musa or Moses.
I wouldn't blame them for Muslims. That's our own fault.
Gosh, sometimes I wonder, okay, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us, let's say us as our society, let's look at our own society, if He had given us these benefits, would we? Would we have been any different from what the Jews have done? And that I believe, we would not have been different. And that is why Allah is using this as evidence to human being, nature of human being, is that despite the overwhelming evidence, the clear signs, they were not ready to believe. The Arabs who are complaining, how different are they going to be? So that was not the way to convince ourselves
of the rightness of a message, kya sachu chhe ke khotu chhe, that was not the way. Science jitla khuda aape, we would only be, you know, amazed by it or fascinated and say, oh, this is nice. Let's ask for another. Let's ask for something else. But was that the way? The message has to be understood objectively, using your logic, intellectually, rationally, you call it whatever, with akal. Not with this kind of science. Okay, this kind of science came down to a whole group of people who were no different from us. And yet they didn't. I think Khuda ne taala Bani Israel ne akhi badi ayat uchhi. There are so many verses where he has narrated these incidents in detail to show to us that human beings, a whole race, did not believe despite these clear signs. So what difference are these signs going to make?
You're going forward, now go backwards. We don't realize the benefits that we have today, which are miraculous. And we take them for granted, and we don't believe. We don't have to look and see the miracles of the Jews. Look at the miracles of
technology.
Not just technology, that the fact that we can think, the fact that we have brains, the fact that we have so many other things. These are miracles. But what, we not have to have them before we realize?
No, the idea of a miracle is that Jews should have been impressed, but not everybody had what they had.
We should be impressed with what we have, but we're not.
Because everybody has.
We're familiar with it. Exactly. So they got something which they became familiar with and said, what's the miracle?
That's what I'm saying. They got familiar with it and then this one lost its charm.
This is
in the Jews. See, Adanushi. In fact, he has quoted so many incidents. There are certain incidents that they have just totally omitted, like the incident of the cow that we shall come to in the following verses. The cow they were asked to slaughter, right? That has no mention in any of their books. Very surprising. But Ayatollah Tabatabai, Abada incidents, he mentions many of them using their books, Jews.
Also, these ayats, they were surely, these verses are addressing Jews, can't.
Yeah.
So they had a right to say
it
didn't happen.
Historically, there's no objection, eh?
There was somebody who said very interesting something, and I that I've read many times, but I didn't realize, you know, that this was the meaning of the ayat, in a sense. There's an ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth in 6 periods.
Six ayam,
huh? And at the end of that ayat, it says, and it did not tire. Good? And it did not tire. It did not fatigue him. Yesterday somebody was telling to me a couple of days back, what it means is that, because an answer to the Christians who say, he created the world in 6 days and he rested. This verse is saying to him, I didn't need to rest. Now when you look at it like that, because an answer to the Christians of the time, how is samjhaye why Allah said, he's not fatiguing me, don't think I got tired.
It's not just answer to Christians, answer to the Jews, because it's there.
No, but the Christians in the Bible say that he created 6 days and then
rested. No, but that Bible, the book of Genesis, is actually the Jews' book.
Quran mentioned it, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ.
And then he sort of like...
laid back.
Yeah, but what he was trying to say was, I'm not fatigued, but what was interesting was the answer to these people, which you don't realize when you're looking at it the first time. And so this must have been like, you know, telling them, like, read all these people. I was addressing it to them.
Right, how is the following verse here? The إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This is the verse that the likes of Aziz used to prove plurality. Religious plurality. The verse literally means that those who brought iman, those who bring iman, right? وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا, and those who are Yahudis, وَالنَّصَارَ, and the Christians, وَالصَّابِئِينَ, and the Sabians. Sabians. Man amana billah, who believes in Allah, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ and the day of judgment, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا and does a good deed, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عَنْدَ رَبِّهِ and they shall be rewarded on the day of judgment.
وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Do they mean the people of the time?
Yeah.
When? In the time of Musa, they were following the same.
Jews, the people of Israel, the Christians before the Prophet. I suppose there would not be any Yahud. They would be Muslims. Yeah. At the time of Nabi Isa, they were Muslims, right? People who followed him brought Islam. The Yahud, the title Yahud came after, right? Imagine, Ayatullah Tabatabai looks at a very different perspective. He says the names that have been used here, Iman, Amanu, they're Mu'min, right? Bachi Yahudi, Bachi Nasara, and then Sabi'i. All these have been used just to show, okay, you give yourself any title, any religious title, right? It is not going to benefit at all. There is only one thing, or rather three things that are going to benefit. مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. He who believes in Allah, who believes in the hereafter, the last day, يَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا and does a good deed. Right? So, firstly, he says, there can be no amal salih without iman. Right? So, any kind of question that is asked, can atheist perform charitable deeds? And we know so many who do, right? Is that accepted? Is that rewarded? As far as the Quran goes, it's quite clear that there is no amal salih without iman. And there is no iman without amal salih. Right? This is one. Secondly, the iman billah, it's like a kyo iman? Whether it is a Yahudi or a Nasara or a Christian, you name yourself anything. It has to be the right faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right kind of Allah. I mean, you talk to a Christian Nasara, he will talk of Trinity, right? You talk to Yahudi, he will talk of a different kind of understanding of Allah. What Allah wants is iman billah, billah, that is the word, billah, is understanding the way we understand. The way we have faith in His justice, the way we understand how He created, the way we understand how He has set up a system. Only that is acceptable. That is irrespective. So the usage of these titles are just to prove a point that regardless of what you name yourself, if you have the right kind of faith in Allah on the day of judgment and do a good deed, then you have nothing to fear. Right?
So if they don't believe,
if they don't believe in, what is also?
If they don't believe in the right kind of the way it's supposed to be, like Christians believe in Trinity, then if they do a good deed, then they don't believe in the world. Not even in this
world. No, that is not. They are not the ones who have been promised. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
Just that.
This particular.
But
Is because I feel it's good, not just for the sake of Allah. Will I get a reward for that? This is for the sake of it being good, I guess. No, no. I'm saying that if Christians don't believe in the Allah the same way, like, for example, atheists, he doesn't. A good deed, not a good deed, thinks society is considered good. So they're doing it either for status, they're doing it because of the sense of gratification. Okay, human being helped me, they get that gratification, you know.
Or just because they feel it's good.
They feel good,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I have helped.
Will they get a reward?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know. I may be wrong.
Looking at this ayat,
can we say that there are some Jews and are some Christians who have the correct belief in Allah? And there would be some Muslims who don't have the correct belief in Allah, looking at
no,
this
ayah? No. It doesn't mean that. It was a verse revealed to those people at that time, at the time of the Prophet. That look, it is not what you call yourself. Right? This is Ayatollah Tabatabai's argument. It is not what you call yourself, whether you are Sabi'in, whether you are Yahud, whether you are Nasara. What is important is that you have to have the right kind of understanding and faith on Allah, the Day of Judgment, and do good deeds.
Were they Christians at that time?
Were they? There were. Najran?
No.
It is now past Urdu, it is not addressed to anybody. It's a general statement now.
It probably means those people who are on the original level.
It can also mean that. I'm surprised he hasn't said that.
Why are they called Nasara? Nasara Christians. Why? What's that name?
I'll read that to you just now. It's quite interesting. Because they come from a city called Nasara.
Nazarene. They're called Nazarenes in English. Okay, that's the same thing.
Are they called Nazarenes?
Nazarenes.
So there is a place called
Nazareth.
Nazareth.
The people are called Nazarenes as well.
I-N-T.
E-N-E.
E-N-E.
Nazarenes.
Nazarenes.
I've heard that before.
So that they must be from the place called Nazareth.
And Sabi'in?
Sabi'in, you both love stories.
Good people.
The names.
Star worshippers.
Star worshippers.
But wait, there were star worshippers and monotheists.
Yes.
They worship one star. Which one?
No, the Sabi'in. I'm not saying that Kibri Riwayat al-Lekhochi, I mean, Ayatollah Tabatabai has compiled so much. One thing is certain. They were worshipping stars and moons. And they used to have that sacrifice, ritual sacrifice and all that.
Were they based on any prophet's episode?
There was some distortion.
Must have mentioned here.
As the Rashid conscious, Rashid, no?
Zoroaster.
I like to say that their belief was tempered a bit by Zoroaster.
Yes, it was tempered. He has even names which are very strange names, okay? They are not Arabic names, right? And I found it extremely difficult to look for the English equivalent. So what is that we call it? Okay? These are Arabic anyway, they must be, you know, Amharic, Hebrew, Kajiyah, right? But he says something. The idol worshipping started from that Sabi. Okay, they started by worshipping stars and moon. And then later on, the human race as a general, you know, following them, started worshipping anything that would symbolize or represent some kind of power of Allah. You see, remember, even the Arabs at the time of the Holy Prophet were a people who worshipped idols knowing that behind them lay a greater power they cannot comprehend. Right? That is why when they were asked who created the earth and the skies, they said, Allah. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. The Holy Prophet was told by Allah that if you ask them right now who created the earth and the skies, they will say Allah. And if you ask them who created this, who created day and night, who brings forth the sun and the moon, they will say Allah. Why? Because they know that none of their idols that they are worshipping can ever have the power to do what is happening. So, in other words, Allah to them was a mystery they cannot comprehend, and yet their human basic desire was to worship something that is tangible, that is something in front of them. And that's how Sabi'in started, by worshipping something they could explain. They could explain the movement of stars, they could explain the role of stars as an astronomy. Right? So it started that way. That tendency to worship something that can be explained, instead of worshipping something that cannot be explained. Aya lage che, وَيَذْكُرُونَ أَنَّ الْكَعْبَةَ وَأَصْنَامَهَا كَانَتْ لَهُمْ وَعَبَدَتُهَا كَانُوا مِنْ جُمْلَتِهِ. These are the practices that started from them. And all this was just following. Quraysh loko je karta tha, but worshipping idols was following the Sabi'in. But they used to have prayers.
Very time frame for these people, between which prophets they were. So they before, for example, Musa alayhi salam.
You see, they say, فَيُقَالَ لَهُمْ الْحُرَانِيَةِ. They are also called الْحُرَانِيَةِ, right? وَقَدْ قِيلْ أَنَّهَا نَسْبَةٌ إِلَى هَادَانْ بِنْ تَرْخْ أَخُو إِبْرَاهِيمْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. So Ibrahim alayhi salam had a brother called Tarkh. Tarkh no chokro Hadan. And Hadan started all this. This is according to some narration.
But didn't Nabi Ibrahim want to meet up with his dad and worship with them for a day?
Huh?
Didn't Nabi Ibrahim meet up with these star worshippers and worship with one?
They were worshipping idols. But that was his own people he was talking to. He met with another group of people.
Sabi'in.
Yeah. Inna uhibbu al-afilin.
Wasn't it that he met up with the Magis, I don't know who they are.
Magi. Magi, M-A-G-I. He worshipped the sun. When the sun went down, he said, this is not Allah.
That's true.
He said, no,
when the moon,
this is Allah.
When he saw the moon, he said, this is the bigger one.
He said, this is the biggest one.
Yes.
Allah Akbar.
But when it set, he said, no, this is not.
He said, I don't love the setting one. So he was trying to teach them that. But were they Sabi'in or were they Magi?
Most of my, coming back to the ayat 62. To what you were talking about. Sajidina says that this is showing the plurality. How can we say that he's wrong? I mean, where's the...
There's an ayat in Ali Imran 85.
Ali Imran?
95.
لن يتقبل من إيجاب ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا. فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين.
What I think what it means is that Islam was what each prophet preached.
No, but this
so
is...
So long as you bring that untainted message, you follow that.
So the point
that even if you are not a Muslim after the prophet, because for example, you didn't hear Islam, whatever, you were living as a community.
So there can be Jews and there can be Christians who have the right belief in Allah.
Maybe.
No, that's the question
maybe
I was asking.
They are. I don't know about Sabians, but...
Sabians are extinct, I guess.
So we can generalize this to any human being who has the right belief in Allah.
You see, the emphasis here is not on the... You see, anybody who has the right belief in Allah and the right belief on the Day of Judgment and is doing the right deed has to be a mu'min. You've got to understand that. Right? Can you...
A lot of people are putting this on the net at the moment. Surely... good people,
there's
a lot of this coming up now,
Amal, Iman,
that is true, right? People are finding it very difficult to justify. We're looking at it from the wrong perspective.
No, but having said that, look, let's be very fair about it. Today, most of us in this room are Muslims for the simple reason that our parents were. Nobody can say, no, I became a Muslim because I had the light. We haven't. So what about those people who are Hindus and those people? What's their fault? They're the same as we are. Why should we go on one line and they will go on another when they have not done anything that we haven't done?
I think the easiest line to hear is to draw the, for example, nobody can categorically say, I name Malik and Malse. We are not...
We are trying to understand it in light of what the Quran says.
But for example, we see examples of Muslims.
They're not good Muslims.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at the people, look at the message.
gave up Mother Teresa. You know, these are kind of figures that come up on the net. Are you saying Mother Teresa will be in hell?
I can
confidently say. You see, in my religion, for example, I could like dedicate to God as she believed it. And to.
This is what we know.
Yeah,
we
right.
Have no. Aaj aapne khabar nahi, for example, Mother Teresa was an example. Aapne khabar nahi ki mafia ne kitna links hata hai, kitna paisa laundering karta tha, laundering karta tha. We don't know that. So let's not. What I'm saying is, we know nothing.
No, there must be a person who is not a Muslim, who is a good, better person than we are. There must be. I mean, our probability, there's got to be somebody out there.
Yeah, and what
we're
saying is there must be some people.
You see, better person than we are.
In the eyes of Allah.
In the eyes of Allah, Hasan. What I'm saying is, that means our will not be accepted, his will not be accepted.
No, never. Our will as well as his will. He is one of the non-Muslims whose will be accepted. Okay, this ayah surely is for all time, Kevin.
For?
All time.
That makes more sense to me. The version that you said, this is probably referring to the different phases of time in India. Musa the time Yahud, Isa the time Nasara al-Islam, right? And Sabi'in, Peygamber the time Sabi'in. All those who believed in Allah, and on the day of judgment, and in good deeds, they have nothing to fear.
The other ramification of the ayah, surely you can imagine that in Medina society, the ayah, usually in Egypt, so like Jayodi ayah, I came up with Sidma, I'm not trying to convert us, look. This ayah has accepted us now. We are good Jews. And we'll go in heaven, just like you good Muslims. So the conversion process would have died a natural death.
So it did not die.
Yes,
that's what Ayatollah Khamenei is trying to say. Originally, we are looking at a different emphasis altogether. The emphasis is not on the different types. The emphasis is on the end of the message.
But wait, that's not the way the ayah comes across. So the ayah does not come and say, call yourself what you will. Yeah, you know, these are the only
people.
But the interesting thing is, the Muslims continue to try to propagate their religion amongst these people. And those people turn and tell them, look, your own religion says, leave us alone. I must say that.
You know, coming back to the thing about being a better person, even if you say, for example, whoever is a better person than us being Muslim, maybe they're not Muslim. But we're looking at it from the wrong. You're looking at it from the wrong sort of criterion. Because at the end of the day, like you said, belief in Allah and sort of bringing iman to Allah is everything. Nothing else is important. So no, even life is not important if there's no sort of belief in Allah. To say someone's doing a good deed. See, you're looking at it from a very how we've been brought up in this society and the Western point of view. I think we're looking at it totally in the eyes of sort of how we've been brought up. Sort of see what I mean? And for example,
good is good. Eh? I mean, you're the starving person, so you help him out, and you relinquish some of your own comfort for his comfort. So that's good. Now you're not a Muslim, so we're trying to argue that you then deserve.
Then say good. For example, this ayah that we came to where you know all those people were killed, you know, those Jews.
Let me just give me 1 more minute. I will try to the words which will explain.
As the first point is that there must be people out there, okay, not so high profile like Mother Teresa or whatever, who are decent, going about their business, religious people, very strong people, and who live by their law. So, for example, they don't sin.
Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 111. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ You see, the Jews and the Christians maintain that they are the only ones who will go into Jannah. Here, what Ayatollah Talatabai is trying to say, because they say that, then they were trying to counter the Prophet's mission by saying this, by saying, look, these names are not important. Right? Those who have faith, ke Yahudi hoi, ke Nasara hoi, ke Sabi'in hoi, whatever you call yourselves, if you have faith in Allah, Prophet, understanding Allah,
right? That includes with itself understanding Allah, એટલે believing. એક યહૂદી કેવો યહૂદી જે એની કિતાબમાંથી સરખું આવે છે કે મસીહ કેવો અલો નસારા, how can he be a true Christian when he does not follow to the letter his own Bible, which says or which predicted the coming of the advent of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Submission to the will of Allah. But what everybody is trying to say is that there are people who follow Islam, submission to the will of Allah, but are not called Muslims. Is that what the argument is?
You see, that is the argument.
So that is possible.
It's not.
No, as long as they are following Islam, submission to the will of Allah.